Welcome back to the Candy Colored Studio. I'm artist Katrina Berg. This is episode 199. We're getting so close to 200. It's kind of blowing my mind. All right. Well, this week we're going to talk about lots of exciting things. We're going to have I'll tell you a little studio update. I've got an artist tip from some amazing artists in Europe, and also talking about an interesting what to do when we have empty business spaces in downtown, you know, situations, and one really awesome solution to that. And then the last one, we've got a military health data red pill. So lots of exciting things. Again, welcome to the Candy Colored Studio. Here we are again, deep in summer, and I feel like there's just not as much time to do all the things that I need to be doing in the studio. And some days it's fine. I just go right along with it. And other days I'm like, oh, this is hard. This is so hard. Today was one of those days, not necessarily that was hard, but I just felt like there's too many other things to do. And this is the first I've been able to get into the studio is just to record this episode. So it's just, sometimes that's how it goes during the summer, but everyone is happy and healthy and well, and I just need to be grateful for that, right? Okay, so as studio update, this is kind of an exciting thing. We've got this local auction that's going to be happening Monday night, and there's lots of ways to participate. So Monday, June 27th is the actual event, but you can participate online as well. And there's going to be an auction, a live auction, but then also online. And so there's all kinds of things that have been donated for this particular charity. But let me back up. So there's an amazing charity called Water for Life Charity, and they have been bringing filter systems, very, very simple water filter systems all over the world for quite a while. And I got to talk to beautiful Lindsay Levitt Brown, and I might be mixing up her last names, but her husband is involved with this charity, and I love how simple it is. It's basically just a bucket, the tube and the filter, and out pumps all this amazing clean water. And so they've been taking it all over the world. When their friend Fiona Givens was heading to Ukraine last month, they realized they really wanted to send some with her. It's interesting because I feel like it's so hard. I feel like there's so much confusion and so much different information coming out of Ukraine. But what I think that we can all agree on is that when we have these types of conflicts, it really disrupts and affects the local, just the innocent bystanders in a way that they obviously their homes get disturbed, their work, and even probably more detrimental is the fact that their water systems are either contaminated or completely destroyed within all the conflict. And so this is something that I was so happy to get behind, because we all need to have clean water. There's nothing. I just don't feel like it's anything that we can really, there's just no sides. And I feel like there have been sides, and, you know, it's hard. And this is something we can all get behind and support, and just anything where we can find a way to work together just makes me so, so happy. And I think that's probably the most needed thing right now, is because I feel like everywhere I go, Satan is trying to divide us in every possible way. All of the different parts of my life, I feel like there's always just one more way to divide and not come together, and basically just, you know, take away this beautiful gift that we are a human family. And this is one of those opportunities to kind of overcome those lies that Satan tells us every day. So, okay, let me tell you a little bit more about this event. So, like I said, it's going to be Monday night, and it's obviously a big fundraiser. They sent lots of systems with Fiona, like I said, last month, and that was really successful. And so now they've had a few more weeks to try to like get some more things together, because she's going back, and I guess they've got some other partners that are going back as well. And so this is very exciting. So their goal is 75,000, And like I said, the systems are very simple. And so there's just so much goodness that can come from this very important event. So they will be having, so the event is in Heber City at, let's see, it's called the Summer House Farms. And it starts at 7 and there will be dinner. It, again, it's going to be really, really great. They're going to have Fiona speak, but also veteran Solomon Smith will be talking about his work in bringing supplies to the front lines, and then also his Backroads Foundation. And then another really special thing that's going to be happening is Alex and Lana Maris. Oh boy, this is bad. Please forgive me. I know I'm going to butcher this name. Miroshenko. Okay. I tried my very, very best. Maybe I'll get to meet Lana and she can help me with that. But they recently came from Ukraine. They're both from, let's see, says Kharkiv. And they had to, obviously they had to leave, and they will be talking about their experience. And Lana is actually an artist. And so if one of her, you know, she's got some artwork that will be in the event. There's going to be over 20 amazing local artists that are participating, artists that I know and love, and it's going to be really fun. So I will put links in the show notes. Number one, if you want to go to the actual event and participate, that's great. You do have to buy a ticket. That's the most important thing. If you want to go to the actual charity gala event, then you have to buy a ticket. Okay. And there is like only so many seats. So definitely go do that. So again, I will put the link, but it is called waterforlifecharity.org, and you can actually just go on there and there's a pop-up and you can buy the tickets, or you can just go in my show notes and I'll have a link. And then very soon they will also have their auction website up and running, and you can, like I said, you can participate and buy artwork and also participate in other really cool auction items. I think she said there were some trips and experiences and all kinds of really neat things that have been donated for this event. So that'll be really awesome. So again, there's two ways to participate. You can participate in person, or you can just donate online, or you can participate in the auction online. So really, really cool. So that is happening. Oh, I should tell you what I'm going to have there. So I don't know if you've seen my painting of the sunflowers. I did a painting of a huge bouquet of sunflowers. I want to say like around Thanksgiving last year, and this is obviously before the Ukraine thing was happening. I wanted it to be a nod to Van Gogh, but of course, sunflowers are very meaningful and a great symbol for Ukraine. So anyways, I'm going to have that big piece. And then also I did a little circle mini. So you got a couple options, but there, like I said, there's going to be tons of great art that I know that you'd love to check out. So those are the pieces that I will have. And that is like the big things that are happening in studio right now. That's probably the biggest update. So definitely, you know, go check that out. See if it's something you'd like to participate in. Again, everyone's welcome. Please share it with other people, because like I said, their goal is 75,000 that they want to go and get all these water systems. Oh, I should tell you a little bit more about the system really quick. So basically, they're hoping to get 2.25 million gallons of clean drinking water. And these filtration systems, they can do 150 gallons of bacteria-free water every hour. So it's amazing. And it's just basically like a 5-gallon bucket. And like I said, tube, filter, boom. It's very, very simple. But that would be really an amazing way to help the people as they, you know, just they need to, I guess a lot of people are coming back to their homes now. A lot of them fled and now they're coming back, and we need to be able to have some clean water for them. So again, would love to have you participate. Please invite anyone that you would like to come. Okay, so that is that. And then let's go to the artist tip for this week. So I was listening to this awesome podcast I ran across. It's called Thriving Women Artists. And it's a podcast of three artists in Europe, and they're so fun to listen to. And I love these kind of like roundup podcasts because you get lots of different perspectives, and not everyone always agrees on things, but I think that's kind of the beauty, because I think that it's really important to listen to different thoughts and ideas and then listen to your heart and let your heart say, oh, you know what you need to be doing. This is what I've been trying to whisper to you for a while. And so-and-so said it out loud. So I think it's a great thing. So their episode that came out on June 19th, it's called Tips for Starting a New Project That You Have Never Done Before. So when I heard that, I was like, okay, it's probably like commissions. Like, what kind of projects are they talking about? But they did talk about commissions. They also talked about other things, like whether it's products, making, I don't know, like clothing or textiles or, you know, lots of different things, lots of different ways. Again, projects of all kinds. It could be advertising. It could be, you know, all kinds of illustration projects and stuff. But anyways, what I loved about this episode was they really talked about the pros and cons of starting new projects. You've got materials, you've got energy. Sometimes we have to research to do new things. And then also just like, how do you feel about it? Where is it going to take you? How is this going to affect your overall goals as an artist, like right now and in the future? How's it going to help unlock different things that you've always wanted to do, but you've never had a chance to do it? And I think you'll really enjoy hearing all of their different ideas. And again, lots of pros and cons of it. And I think what I think is so beautiful is it reminds us that it's just one of those things where you kind of have to look at each individual project. You know, there's some artists that say, I just don't do commissions. But I think when it comes to projects, it's like, oh, well, you kind of have to look at the whole project and then answer a lot of these questions that these cute ladies are asking to know if it's right for you. And so, again, it just makes it easy to ask yourself all these things every time you come across something new. So lots of fun. Again, I will go ahead and embed that episode right in the show notes on my website under the podcast tab. You'll find it. So enjoy that. Okay, so let's talk about this this article that I found about these downtown business spaces. So I'm just going to kind of read the little tagline, I guess. It says, as remote work has left many offices empty, developers are turning these spaces into private homes, hopefully reviving dying business districts at the same time. So I thought that was really great because it's true. Like during 2020 and like the peak of the pandemic, I think that was something that we were all noticing. Everyone was going home to work. Everybody was staying home. And then we had all these office spaces, you know, even my husband, he just works a couple of blocks away and yet he came home and they were trying to decide what to do. And what's ironic is now all of his employees, all three of them, are doing their own remote work, and it just made it so much easier because of 2020. They kind of changed things. And so I just think it's interesting. But now we've got all these empty spaces. What do we do with them? And what I loved about this article, and this was in, so this is bbc.com, and then their section on work life. And of course, I will link to this whole episode, but I thought it was really beautiful. So I'll just read a little bit about it. It says, when the Ray opened in Washington, D.C.'s fashionable Foggy Bottom neighborhood in May of 21, it was one of the busiest real estate projects of the year. Not only did the 8-story apartment complex have bold Art Deco designs in its grand lobby, but also a rooftop terrace overlooking the DC skyline where fire pits and grills, as well as a penthouse club room with lounge and private meeting space. For residents of the neighborhood, it was quite a surprise to see this World War II era building transformed into 158 luxury apartments. It was, after all, filled just 2 years earlier with foreign policymakers dissecting diplomatic cables at offices run by the U.S. State Government or Department. So lots of interesting things. So again, this is just one example of where one area of D.C., they're basically taking offices and creating these amazing, just incredible living spaces. And I'm telling you, you've got to click on it just if only to see the picture. The main picture is, well, there's several, but the very top one is like, ooh, it's so beautiful. So again, it's really fun. And I personally love finding new uses for spaces. When Carl and I visited Boston several years ago, we went to some really neat art studios that had been like a factory, and then they became art studios, and those were really, really neat spaces. And I love transitioning from like we design things for one specific use, and then we find that that space can be used for a totally different way, in a different way. And I feel like it just opens up our creativity and opens up our life to just see things differently and experience, you know, have different experiences. And I love that. And I think this is a great way to do it. So again, you should totally check out the article. It's really fun. I think we'll be seeing a lot more of this. I think we'll also be seeing more creative uses of some of these buildings that where people just aren't using the space the same way that they were, say, 3 years ago. So that'll be really interesting to see. It sounds like in Paris, they actually had they launched a design competition for similar office to housing conversions. And I thought that was really cool. So it seems to be something that a lot of people are like, okay, what can we do with this space? How can we change this? And they're just trying to make it really fun in the process. So lots of really good things. Here's another thing about Calgary and how they're changing things as well. And that's really fascinating. So lots of different places, obviously, going after this similar, you know, kind of challenge. And what can we do? And obviously, it's great for anyone that owns these big office buildings. Hopefully, they will find a whole new way to use their, you know, find new tenants. And I think that'll be great. So really cool. Okay, let's jump into this red pill. So I started hearing about this months ago. I'm honestly thinking it was, gosh, the beginning of the year. Okay. So there has been, I don't know, like a, what would you say? I guess it's a panel. Okay. So Senator Ron Johnson did a panel, a COVID-19 panel, panel to just kind of keep their eye on what's actually been happening. And so I think that's really interesting. But basically what he found was that one of his panel members, or, you know, members on his panel, attorney Tom Renz, he started having some whistleblowers come and talk to him about things that they had seen. And they were specifically from our military. Okay. So basically, this is really interesting, but one specific whistleblower came from the Defense Medical Epidemiology Database, okay? And it showed a radical increase in injury to military personnel since COVID-19. So sorry. Okay, so this is crazy. I'm just going to read some of the stats, and this is kind of what they were looking at that they thought were really, you know, a little scary. Okay. There were 279% spike in miscarriages. So again, these military personnel can be family members, anyone that's connected to the military, right? Employees, family members, children. So that's really alarming. 279% spike in miscarriages. Then there was a 487% spike in breast cancer, a 1,048% spike in the nervous system, 155% spike in birth defects, 350% spike in male infertility, 369% spike in testicular cancer, 2,181% spike in hypertension, 664% spike in malignant neoplasms, 680% spike in multiple sclerosis, 551% spike in Guillain-Barré syndrome, 468% spike in pulmonary embolism, 302% spike in tachycardia, 452% spike in migraines, 471% spike in female infertility, 437% spike in ovarian dysfunction, and 269% spike in myocardial infarction. Yeah. 291% spike in Bell's palsy. And the last one that I have on this list, there might be more, but this is just kind of like the main thing. 467% spike in pulmonary embolisms. Okay. So this is interesting. lots of stuff, but I'm just going to read kind of the overall, they kind of had a little paragraph that kind of described, but this is what it says. Attorney Tom Wren says that the whistleblower data, this DMED database, has provided a control group of sorts. It's military records dating back several years that supply medical codes for various medical issues that our military face, such as cancer, miscarriage, neurological disorders, etc. These records provided by the three military doctors, heroes in my world, show a historical baseline of what the health of the American military was like before 2021, the year that COVID vaccine was released. What you see is quite disturbing. From 2016 to 2020, all variations of medical conditions stay consistent. Now, I just want to point out, I'm reading a quote from this attorney, Tom Renz, but what I just want to point out is that when I first started hearing about this, I thought, well, is it from COVID or is it from the vaccine or is it both? Like, what are we finding here? But what they said was that this spike happened in 2021. It wasn't 2020. So that's interesting because you would think that we would have seen the spike start in 2020, but they didn't. They saw it in 2021, which is very interesting. Okay, going back to his thing. So again, I'll just reread what that last part. What you see is quite disturbing. From 2016 to 2020, all variations of medical conditions stay consistent. But in 2021, when the variable of the vaccine is mandated, the spike in cancers, miscarriages, infertility, you name it, jumps by factors of hundreds to thousands of percent. Let me be crystal clear. These vaccines are injuring and sometimes even killing our military. And those in the public that are buying the quote safe and effective unquote marketing. These numbers prove it beyond a shadow of a doubt. Okay. And then that's the end of his quote. And again, I will put a link to this. There's all kinds of information. In fact, if you just, I went to, you know, find something to share with you, and there's tons of information just on DuckDuckGo. And I'm sure there is on, you know, Google as well. But there's graphs, there's all kinds of stuff. But I think the important thing here is that, again, who are the people that they're watching? The military. And it's true, we do know that the military, they are so organized and they are keeping track of things like no one else. Like, they are the perfect, I guess, the perfect data group to kind of follow. And so this should be, this should be concerning us. And I'm not really sure exactly what to say about it, but I think it's something to just be aware of. Because who knows? Who knows exactly what was happening during 2021 with the military? Like, I don't know. Are they getting a specific batch of vaccines? I mean, I still have a lot of questions, but ultimately, I do think it's something important to look at. And I think, again, it is something that needs to be, I don't know, needs to be brought up because, again, they are so organized and they keep such good records within the military. So anytime that you see spikes like this, it just makes me think, okay, we need to pay attention to this because this is not a normal thing. Goodness gracious. There were, like, the nervous system one, 1,048%. I think there was a, was there another 1,000 one that, oh yeah, there was 2,000 in hypertension. That's crazy. I heard some other data this week and they were talking about, we have so many people that are considered disabled now, like the percentage of Americans that are considered disabled has skyrocketed. And that's crazy too. So again, I don't know exactly what it means for all of us. But again, I think that the most important thing is that we, you know, that we're willing to look at the information and then let our hearts tell us what to do with it. So yes. Okay. That is the end of our red pill. Lots of good things. So again, focus those happy thoughts on the Water for Charity event. I think that's going to be really exciting. I'm grateful for people that make it so easy for us to do our small part to make a difference in our brothers and sisters' lives. And I'm grateful for that. So special thanks to Lindsay and her husband and their whole team. And of course, my good friend Rob for helping them with all the, you know, he's been doing a lot of stuff for them as well. So lots of good things happening here. I just want to send a lot of love to you. I know that this is, I don't know if you felt it, but things have felt pretty intense the last couple of days. And I'm not saying it's necessarily a bad thing, but it has felt a little bit more intense. And I don't know if you felt it too, but I just want to send a lot of love to you and to your loved ones. So go ahead and check out that artist tip. Listen to that fun episode about new projects. Consider if you got to take over an empty business space, what would you do with it? Would you make an art studio, music studio? How would you use that space? Would you want to live there full time? I mean, gosh, that would be a really cool VRBO. I didn't necessarily hear anything about that, but that could be really a fun thing to do. You could have parties in there and events, lots of interesting ways that we can be using these spaces. So, okay, lots of love to you from the Candy Colored Studio.